do have a message for you this morning, and my message is titled, Finish the Course. And so I just got my message as Darren and I were traveling to Europe over the, we just came back from it a couple weeks ago. And our first stop was in Paris. And as we went to Paris, many of the sites that we went to see, we saw fencings, and we saw arenas, and we saw the different stands that were being erected around the different sites that you would normally visit. And what they were doing was they were getting ready for the up-and-coming Olympics coming up in July. So that was kind of exciting for us that we got to see the preparations, you know, getting ready. I mean, we would love to see the Olympics, but we got to see the preparations for it. Then we go over to Switzerland. And Switzerland, oh my gosh, that was just like being close to heaven. I mean, we were so far up, and it was just majestic and beautiful. And I just thought, can I get any closer to heaven here on earth? I mean, it was beautiful. But on our last day, my son says, Mom, you have got to go and ride the sled. And so we're going off to the sled up in the Alps, and we get on these cable cars, and we're going up to the Alps, and we get up in this cable car, and we get on one cable car, and I think, okay, we're going up to the mountains, right? Well, that's not high enough. We have to get onto a second cable car, and we continue our trek up to the mountains, up to the Alps, and when you get up to the top, that's not high enough. We have to hike up the mountain a little bit more to get to where we need to go to ride these sleds that will take us down on the mountain. And as we're riding it on these cable cars, my son and his wife are telling us about his first adventure riding these sleds. Now, before I tell you about this adventure that he's telling me about, have you guys ever seen the movie Cool Runnings? Okay, so there's a scene in this movie, and John Candy, he's trying to get people to sign up for this bobsled Olympics event, right? And so he's in Jamaica, and now anybody who knows anything about Jamaica, there's no snow in Jamaica, right? So he's trying to get all these Jamaicans to sign up for this bobsled event, this race for the Olympics that he wants them to compete in. And so he's in a maybe like a dining hall or something, and there's all these people that are in the dining hall, and he's showing them a video of what the bobsled race is all about. And so as he's showing them the movie on the bobsled, or the film about the bobsled races, he's telling them, he says, you're zigging and you're zagging. And he goes, oh, and then you see the bobsled in the movie, they flip over in the track that they're on, and it's making several flips. And he goes, oh, he goes, don't worry. He says, you won't break any bones in the bobsled. And he laughs, and he looks up at his audience there in the cafe that they're in, and there's only one person left. Because everybody else was so fearful, they ran out of the cafe. They're like, I'm not going to be a part of that bobsled thing, right? So my son, mind you, and his wife are telling us this story about my son's first adventure going on this sled ride that we're about to go on. And he's telling me, he's like, and I'm like listening to this story, and it just kind of reminds me of this movie, but he's like, okay, they told me, speaking about his wife and her family, that I can go down this sled ride as fast as I want to go, and I don't have to use the brake. And now, when you go down this sled ride, you're riding by yourself. There's nobody else with you. You're just by yourself. And he goes, okay, let me just back up. My son is a F-22 fighter pilot, so when you talk speed, this guy knows no boundaries when it comes to speed, okay? So he's like, I can go as fast as I want to go. And they're like, yeah, go as fast as you want to go. So he literally takes it for what they say. So he goes down this sled ride, and he doesn't use the brake. And he's going around the turn, and he doesn't use the brake. And he's going at a pretty fast speed. So what does he do? He flies off and crash, right? So they're telling me this story when I'm going up to ride on this sled ride. And I'm like, all I can think was, I'm going up one cable car. Now I'm going up a second cable car. And I'm thinking, all I want to do is turn around and go back down to the bottom because I don't want to crash, right? But I lady up, not man up, I lady up. And I said, okay, I'm going to go because my son says I just got to go on this ride. Thank you, Jesus. I have no broken bones. I made it down to the bottom, so praise God for that. But it was a fun ride. We had a great time. And so our last location that we go to is Italy. And in Italy, my husband says, I got to go to Italy because I want to see the Colosseum. Now, the Colosseum was really amazing, and the Colosseum was very humbling to me because all I could think about was how many people has passed away in this location. And it was also very humbling because here we are standing in a structure that began construction in 72 AD. And I'm like, in awe that I could be standing in something that was that historic, you know? And so, anyhow, it was just also amazing because they had four levels of stands. You know, like how if you're in a stadium, it's like this, and they had four levels of the stands that's still standing strong, still like solid. And I thought, man, these guys' architecture design is amazing. And how they had it was they had it where, like, the first level was for royalty and for their family. And then the second two levels were for, like, the Roman citizens and for government. And then the upper level was for, like, the commoners. They call them plebs, but maybe, like, for what some would say lower class. That would be at the very top level. And it's high up. I mean, really high up. But it was just so amazing to see all of that. And then the very ground level where they had the actual gladiator fights, that ground level was actually no longer there. But they had the lower structures still kind of intact. And that's where they had the gladiators, where they actually lived and where they trained on a day-to-day basis. And they also had in that same locations another level. They had two levels. And that's where they would also house all of the animals, wild animals that they used to fight. Sometimes they would have animals that would fight just animal fights, you know, and sometimes the animals would actually fight with the humans as well. So it was really quite interesting, but all of these things made me think on, my thing just went off of here, but all of these things made me think on the athletics and how they have to train. Athletes have to train day in and day out to accomplish their desire to finish the course and to win the race. And, you know, they are after winning a prize. And, you know, Jesus finished a course, and he was not after winning a prize or anything like that, but he finished a course. And anyhow, that's what caused me to think on the message that I'm bringing to you this morning. The point that I pray that you'll be able to walk away with this morning is that we are able to finish the course that's been set for us because we can look to Jesus. And he's the one who's endured the full weight of suffering. And we can trust our Heavenly Father for his guidance and care through any and all trials and hardships that we face. You know, Jesus is our ultimate source for finding strength and endurance in everything that we do. Christ endured suffering for salvation, for the church, for the bride, and that's us, right? So he took on the hostility that his people really deserved, but Christ took that on. We can talk about how some of the old-time figures took on a lot of hostility. They took on a lot of suffering. But no matter what, none of them had suffered and acted in the way that Christ did by substituting himself for us. What Christ did for us, there's no one else who could do what he did. Therefore, I would like to say that Christ is our focus, not only this morning, but he should be our focus always. So my scripture text is just going to be on three scriptures really today. And it's going to be found in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 3. So my first slide this morning is going to be on Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version for you. So I'm not sure which version you have, but that's what I'll be reading on. And it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You know, the New Testament is full of metaphors. And a metaphor is a figure of speech that suggests similarities between two or more different ideas without really implying that they're the same. So in my scripture text, the writer of Hebrews is using a metaphor. And he's using a metaphor about an athlete running a race. So he's beginning by reminding us of a Colosseum filled with old-time saints. And these old-time saints are full of faith who have already finished the course. Okay, so he's talking about these old-time saints that were in the previous chapter, chapter 11. So many of us will probably know about those old-time saints. But they have successfully completed and applied that spiritual endurance of faith in their lives. They are the great cloud of witness that he's referring to. They are the soldiers of faith who were noted in that chapter 11. Many of us know it as the faith chapter. Some of us may know it as the great hall of faith. And so if you read about these men and women, we can really take heart and take encouragement at looking at them as examples of faith that they have set for us. So I wonder if they could actually be watching from heaven and watching from the great grandstands there, cheering us on as we are running our races, you know. But the Hebrew author is wanting to remind us of these that endured, these that had hardships, these that finished the course. And he's using the metaphor of the athlete that is running that race. So he's speaking of athletes as we would know. And, you know, an athlete, if you think about it, none of them would intentionally put on a bunch of weight and go to run that race. none of them would go in carrying extra weight to run their race, right? And in verse 1, we're being told that we have to lay aside that weight that easily besets us, right? You know, the Greek word for race is agon. And it can also be used in a sense of a struggle or a fight. So as Christians, we're not playing a game or trying to see who can ride like the biggest North Shore wave. No, the race that we are running, it's a hard race. It can be very difficult. It can be a struggle. To make it to the end, it's going to require us to set aside anything that may be holding us back, anything that is weighing us down. We have to lay aside anything that is hindering us or stopping us from doing what we must do. So think of a runner ready to run the race. He doesn't go out to the track, right? He doesn't go out to the track wearing sweatpants. He doesn't have a hoodie jacket on and his hiking boots. He doesn't go out looking all cool and things like that. No. He goes out and he's got on his light clothing. He's got on his running shoes and he's ready to run. So as Christians, we have to be ready for the race that we're running. Right? So my first point I want to share is the race that we're running, it's a spiritual race. It's a spiritual race that we're running. So my slide number 2 is verse 2 in Hebrews. I'm sorry, I'm still going to be on verse 1. It says, therefore we also, again, I'll read it. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, here we go, listen again. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. So I want us to pay attention to that point right there. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So we're reminded, right? We're reminded of those that endured, those that paid really great cost. It took great faith for them and great endurance to complete the course for each of them. And we're given throughout the scripture, you know, keys in the Bible. We're given scripture keys that would help us to succeed in life and in our race that we're given. So here, we're given a key. This is a key that we are given in our spiritual race. And that key is that we have to set aside anything that is weighing us down. Things that are making our faith course difficult. So did you know that it can be different for each and every one of us, what that is? What hinders you may not hinder somebody else, right? So slide 3. So what is a hindrance? A hindrance is something otherwise good that weighs you down spiritually. I'll repeat that. A hindrance is something otherwise good that weighs you down spiritually. That could be a friendship, an association, an event, a place, a habit, a pleasure, an entertainment, an honor. So think about that list. Think about our own lives. Think about a hindrance or any of those, any categories that may be a weight in our lives that we have to work on. So if this otherwise good things drags you down, it's holding you back, causing you distraction. As believers, we're told we have to set it aside. So to endure the race, anything that is slowing us down, we have to set it aside, right? So what are we to be? We have to be weightlifters. Not the physical weightlifter, but we have to be a spiritual weightlifter. We have to be able to lift off that weight that's so easily holding us back and stunting us from moving forward in the kingdom, moving forward in our faith, moving forward with the race that God has called each one of us to, because each and every one of us has been called to a race. The author of Hebrews could also be speaking about a specific sin, because he referred to the sin. So if we go back to the scripture and we look at the scripture said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, right? So if it's the sin which easily ensnares us or entangles us, any sin could trip us up, right? It could be a fib, a white lie, right? It could be walking away from our faith. So we have to weed out sin from our life. Is it habitual? It could be a small thing that is constantly tempting us and causing us to stumble. But here he's saying the sin, right? So could the author of Hebrews here be meaning unbelief? Have we fallen into the place of doubt and unbelief? Unbelief, faithlessness comes, you know, in many different sizes. Could it be like a nagging doubt that just won't go away? Because sometimes it's just nagging us, right? Does it come like that dog that's just nipping at our heels? At your feet, and disbelief that God is who he says he is. And that he's going to do what he says he's going to do in his word. Or does it feel like a huge tree that just has come falling across your path? And your feet. And you feel your faith has been challenged to the point where there's no other way but to abandon the course. You know, one of the sad truths about sin is that it clings to sinners. Do you feel like that? That it just like is clingy and you just can't shake it off sometimes. You know, it would be so nice if we could say as Christians, when we came to Christ, that sin just went away and it never reoccurred in our life again. But unfortunately, we do not automatically become perfect and sinless. That's why in 1 John 1:8, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You see, sin is real and it's a struggle which we constantly face with for the rest of our lives. This is why scripture constantly, we are given scripture and we're given warnings and examples. If we read chapter 7, of Romans, Or we read Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. You would know from reading these scriptures that the battle that rages from what the flesh wants and it conflicts with what the Spirit wants. Galatians 5, 17, this is what it reads and what it tells us. It says, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. This is why we are told that we have to throw the weight off, to lay it aside. Else how? How can we endure it? So how do we do this? Right? How do we do this? How do we run that race? How do we run the race with endurance? When you think of the races, take, for example, a canoe race. Take, for example, a relay race. Take, for example, a car race. Most of the people that are here at these races, what are they? They're spectators, right? Most of them are watching the race. Few are the participants in the race. I know that when I went to watch Asher, Kala'i, and Kana'i race the canoes, most of the people are on the shoreline. They're watching the race. Sorry. My sinuses are dripping away. All right. They're on the shorelines and they're watching the race. They are not participating. They are spectators. But do you know, as Christians, our starting line was the day of conversion, the day upon our acceptance of receiving Christ as our Savior. The gun had been fired and our race is on. We must run the race. As believers of Christ, we are running a race. And our finishing line is not until we get to the day of judgment. That's when we will reach our finishing line. As Christians, as God's elect, we are His children bearing His name. When we say we are a Christian, what are the first six letters of that declaration saying? Christ, C-H-R-I-S-T. We are bearing His name with that declaration. We must finish the race, and that has been set before us, and we must endure it till the end. Have you heard the story of the tortoise and the hare? The tortoise challenged the hare and he won the race. It's not about how fast we run, but that we last and that we endure. The hare was prideful and in the end, he lost the race. We must be humble in our race. We have to run our race with humility, with love, and we have to be wise as serpents, right? Excuse me. If we want to endure, what we cannot do is run the race within our own strength. Scripture says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that is so easily ensnares us, a sin that we naturally are inclined with are constantly struggling with. While running the course, allow yourselves to be driven by faith and cling to the hope that is set before us. Don't look down at your feet, at others, or at the accomplishments, at your accomplishments or your failures. Do not try to run someone else's race, because when we get to heaven, God is not going to ask you about somebody else's race that you ran. God is going to look to you and want to know about the race that you ran, the race that he had given to you. So run your race, okay? Run the race that God has given to you. When we finish the course, God is going to be looking at that. And there is a day of judgment that each one of us will face, right? So direct your attention without distraction on Jesus Christ and him alone. Okay, let me get back. The endurance that we run with comes from Christ and him alone. We endure because we are his. 1 Peter 1:5 says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in this last time." So we are being guarded by the power of God. God honored, you know, the Old Testament saints, because why? Because they were actively faithful. So we too are being called unto the race and to be active in our faith. All right, you know, Pastor Darren, a couple weeks ago during our Bible study, he said one word that he had told us, and that word just was like amazing because he added it on to our model. And I don't know if you know our model, but I'm going to tell you what that one word is. Are you guys ready for that one word? That one word that he gave to us was obedient. And he added it on to our motto. And our motto is, it goes like this. He said, obedient action with living faith in God knows no defeat, because that's our motto. So if we are obediently moving in faith, we will know no defeat. And we will have victory every single time. All right? Hallelujah. So I believe that's a word for us today that Pastor Darren had been given that morning about obedient action with living faith in God knows no defeat. Hallelujah. All right, slide number 4. Continuing on with that scripture text. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So what is the key to our strength? Here's another key that we're given through scripture. The key to our strength is it's not the great cloud of witness. No, that's not what our strength is. But what I can say is that the author of Hebrews, he's encouraging us to imitate the great cloud of witness, those that were great in faith, those men and women of the past. Every one of us should be remembered not because of our athletic abilities and not because of our inabilities of athleticism, but because of our faith in God, okay? So what is that key? That key is that our strength comes from Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. That's the other key that we are given in Scripture, is that our strength comes from the Lord, all right? So I encourage you not only to reread chapter 11, about those that made it through with great faith in the Hall of Faith. Let me just name a few of them for you. These great men and women of faith, you probably would recognize their names. Names like Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joseph, David, Rahab, just to name a few of them. And in verse 33 and 34, it says, some are unnamed. And listen to this. This is, I mean, it just tells you of great faith, okay? Some are unnamed who were stoned, sawn in two, killed with the sword, afflicted or mistreated, while some that were listed, which by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, shut the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, became mighty in war, and put foreign armies to flight. Verse 2 gives us the key, and that key is Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. But we are to fix our eyes on Jesus, right? People from the Old Testament period, they looked to Christ through eyes of prophecy. They looked to Christ through eyes of prophecy. We cannot physically see him here, but by faith, we can look to Christ, the one who came in the flesh, right? And by faith, we know that he is the Son of God, the living God, and that he will come again. Christianity is solely created on Jesus Christ. It's not centered on a great cloud of witness or the unnamed heroes. The church is here because of Jesus. When I began coming to the Door of Faith Church, I think that was like in maybe 1991, 92, somewhere around there, we would cite every single morning, every Sunday morning, the Apostles' Creed. And when I used to recite the Apostles' Creed when I first came, I really didn't understand what the Apostles' Creed really was all about. And I learned it and memorized it and everything. And it wasn't until a while, much later, that I really came to appreciate what the Apostles' Creed really was all about. Because the Apostles' Creed tells you what you believe as a Christian and what you stand for as a Christian. And if you haven't heard of it, if you don't know what it is, look it up. I encourage you. If you want to know what it is, I can tell you what it is. I don't want to go into it, the whole thing now. But it really helps you to know what you stand and believe in as a Christian. And that's why it's called a creed. And they call it an Apostles' Creed because they believe that each of the apostles had a part to add in it to say what it's saying in the Apostles' Creed itself. But as I learned it, it really made so much sense to me, knowing it and understanding it. It'll help you to understand the supremacy of Christ and what he did for us. You know, Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified. He died. He died for each and every one of us. And on the third day, he arose again. He rose from the dead, and I don't know anyone, as a matter of fact, there is no one who can make that claim except Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And he sits on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. He is the source and the perfecter of our faith. We have such a rich inheritance in Christ. We can gain encouragement from these great cloud of witnesses, these hall of famers, but the one who keeps us in the race is Christ and Christ alone. He's the one we build our faith in. He is both the chief cornerstone and the capstone. He is our unshakable ground. He is the one who helps us. He is the one who keeps us on solid foundation. All other else is sinking sand. Hallelujah. Without him, we have no basis of faith. Without him, we have no basis of belief. If Jesus is not who he says he is, then our faith is in vain. Hallelujah. He is the finisher of our faith. He is the one who has completed it. He is the one that went to the cross for us. He is the one who said, "It is finished." God the Father honored his obedience. When he rose from the dead, his work is still perfect today. And Jesus is our mediator and will have the roll call one day to call us home. He is our full assurance. He is our Savior. And one day, by faith, we will be able to hear the words, "Well done, thy good and faithful service. Enter in." Aren't you looking forward to hearing those words one day? You know, athletes, they compete in the game to win a prize at the end. You know, in the ancient Greek and the Roman games, the prize was a laurel crown. It did not have much worth, but it brought considerable fame to the winner. But let me tell you, fame wasn't easily come by then. Typically, the people who wore those were of birth nobility, and they inherited wealth. They had military status and the such like that. So these that earned the fame could improve their status in society. So people that won, they were just so happy because they notched it up a level, you know. And let me tell you this. They were even allowed to sit at that level with the royalty there in the stands at the games. But notice what it said in verse 2 of that scripture. It ended with, and it says, "And has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Christ endured the cross, not for any kind of societal gain or to wear that laurel crown. Instead, he despised the shame and wore the crown of thorns for our good and for his Father's glory." Hallelujah. So we ought to consider Jesus. And this is the last scripture that is with my scripture context this morning. It says, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." You know, in verse 3, we're reminded to consider Christ. When the author says to consider Christ, he's not just thinking of a past thought of consideration, but instead, it is more of a stronger point that he's trying to make, that we are to uphold Christ in the highest esteem, to desire to model after Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one that should be inspiring us and should be encouraging us and helping us to press in and to press forward to the mark of the high calling. Hallelujah. Jesus is our greatest example for us to follow and to stay true to our faith. Even up to the very end, he's the one that should be the strength that we're looking to. Throughout Christ's life, he stood firm and he endured great hostility, great rejection in his race, but he did not cower. He stood firm. Stand firm. Stand firm on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ, because everything else is sinking sand. Hallelujah. It doesn't take much pain or hostility for us to feel persecuted, right? Many of us will feel persecuted just by a few words that are spoken, just by something that we hear sometimes. Sometimes it's because, oh, pastor walked past me, didn't say hello to me this morning. Oh, they looked at me a little funny, or oh, they had this or that. You know, sometimes we feel persecuted over the smallest little things. But let me tell you, Jesus endured it all. He felt the rejection, but he pressed in and he pressed on. Hallelujah. Let's not look to the little things, but let's press in and press on for Jesus. Hallelujah. There are people that are imprisoned, people that are beaten and separated from their families, even martyred today in his name. In 2023, the Christian Post stated that the level of violent Christian attacks was at a record high nearly 5,000 Christians were killed for their faith. So when we are thinking about little things, think again. There are those that are out there in the fields, and they are pressing hard for their faith and believing in Christ, and they're being persecuted for their faith. Hallelujah. So we're reminded that there are still physical persecutions going on today because of their faith in Jesus. Thinking on the physical persecution, we are also reminded that Jesus was tortured. He paid it all. Hallelujah. He endured great hostility towards himself. He was flogged and tortured and beaten and even whipped, but he would do it again. He would do it all over again for you and for I. Because why? Because he loves us and he wants us to make heaven our home. Are you ready to make heaven your home? Are you ready to run your race? Are you ready to say, yes, Lord, I am ready. I'm ready to do it, Lord God. As we sang this morning, that song, let me remind you of some of the words that it says. For the Lamb has conquered, I will follow him. Are you ready to say, yes, I will follow him? To the ends of the earth, I will follow him. Are you ready to follow him to the ends of the earth? It says, Jesus, you're worthy. Do you really mean he is worthy? In your soul, are you saying, yes, Jesus, you are worthy? Is he worthy in the morning when you wake up? Is he worthy in the afternoon? Is he worthy at night? Is he worthy when you're having lunch with your companions? Is he worthy when you're out on the streets? Is he worthy when you're shopping? When is he worthy in your life? Are you showing that he's worthy in all that we do and all that we say? Hallelujah. The harvest is ready. Are we telling them about Jesus? Are we speaking Jesus? Let's speak Jesus wherever we go. Let's share the joy and the love of Christ. Let's not be ashamed of the gospel. Let's share the good news. Let our voices be not afraid. Let our voices be a megaphone for Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. So this morning, I encourage you, run the race. Run the race. Finish your course and listen to the words of your Lord and your Savior. Say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter in. Amen. If we can all stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you for enduring the cross. We thank you, Lord, that you conquered it all. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can look to you, the author, the finisher of our faith, Lord God. We thank you that you are our strength and our shield and our buckler. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can count on you, Lord God. That, Lord, we know that there are times, Lord God, we know that there are times when we struggle, but God, you're our strength. God, you'll see us through it every single time. And help us, Lord, to be weight lifters, to lift off the weight that so easily besets us, Lord God. And let us run. Let us run with patience. Let us endure it all, Lord God. And let us press in to the mark of the high calling. We love you. We thank you. We praise you and we worship you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and we all say, amen. Amen.